Thanks for listening to our podcast. We've got more information and additional resources at probe.org/podcast. And be sure to check out our life-changing Summer Mind Games Camp for high school and college students.
So, Adam and Eve or apes? Dr. Ray Bolin examines the so-called science of human evolution, now on Probe.
In 2012, the Discovery Institute published an edited volume discussing the possibilities of human evolution from an ape-like ancestor by Darwinian evolutionary mechanisms. This week, I'm going to be offering an overview of the book, Science and Human Origins, and investigate the state of research into human origins from an evolutionary perspective. Today, I'd like to discuss the first chapter by Ann Gager. Ann is a research scientist with Biologic Institute with laboratory experience at Harvard and the University of Washington. Initially, Ann points out the two things that are necessary for there to be a link by common ancestry between humans and some ape-like ancestor. First, there must be a stepwise adaptive path to follow. Neo-Darwinism depends on a slow, gradual path between two forms, genes or proteins. Rapid, large jumps are likely to be too disruptive to the organism's state of being. Second, standard unguided Darwinian mechanisms such as mutation, selection, random drift, and genetic recombination have to be sufficient for the task. Modern evolutionary theory is quite insistent that only naturally unguided processes are necessary for evolution to occur, no matter what the transition being considered. To better understand the problem, the book discusses the numerous types of biological changes needed to transition from a primarily arboreal monkey adjusted to life in the trees to a walking, running, hunting, gathering, intelligent, talking human being. Compared to the other great apes, humans possess longer legs, shorter arms, eyes that can focus straight ahead and still see where we are walking, larger and unique brain structures, a head that sits directly atop of the spine, and a spine that will support upright walking and running. Now add to that our unique capacities for language, art, and abstract thought, and you can easily understand that a lot needs to happen. The usual series of fossils links together Lucy, the Australopithecine closest to humans, and Turkana Boy, the first full member of our genus, Homo. Lucy is said to have lived 3.2 million years ago, and Turkana Boy about 1.5 million years ago. This is indeed a very short time span in evolutionary terms, especially considering all that must change. One recent paper from the journal Genetics suggested that it would take about 6 million years for a single mutation to be fixed in a primate lineage. This transition probably needs tens of mutations. If you need two mutations, forget it. That would require 216 million years. It's not too hard to see that standard evolutionary processes are wholly insufficient to cause the transition between Australopithecines and humans.
You've been listening to Probe with your host, Dr. Ray Bolin. Get your free copy of Ray's transcript, Science of Human Origins, at probe.org/radio. And join us next time, here on Probe.
In 2012, the Discovery Institute published an edited volume discussing the possibilities of human evolution from an ape-like ancestor by Darwinian evolutionary mechanisms. Science and Human Origins, I'm going to be offering an overview of this book and investigate the state of research into human origins from an evolutionary perspective. Today, I want to discuss the evidence for human evolution from the fossils. Study into ancient humans is called paleoanthropology. As the story goes, humans and chimpanzees share a common ancestor about 6 million years ago. The fossil record of 6 million years ago has been pretty stingy. Not much to choose from for a human-chimp ancestor until the last 20 years. For the purposes of radio, I'll be referring to the various fossils by their common or nickname. The actual scientific names will be in the online version and, of course, in the book itself. The Tumai skull was first reported in 2002 and is widely referred to as the oldest fossil in the hominin line. But when you dig a bit deeper, as is always necessary when discussing human evolution, not everyone agrees. All the skull really shows is how complex the evolutionary story has become. A second fossil, known as Ororan, or the original man in a local Kenyan language, was designated as the earliest human link in 2001. But it was little more than a few bone fragments from an arm, thigh, lower jaw, and a few teeth. As usual, there were some saying that Ororan walked on 2 feet, and others who said there isn't enough information to determine how this organism moved. Another fossil found on the island of Sardinia is truly an ape, but had some indications that it too was bipedal. But Oreopithecus is thought to have arrived at its bipedal gait independently. This will clearly indicate that just because an ape-like fossil has bipedal adaptations doesn't mean it was ancestral to humans. Last for today is the curious story of Ardi. Ardi is a 4.4 million-year-old fossil announced in 2009. Ardi quickly rose in fame and attention, being hailed by some as the oldest human ancestor found and the key to understanding how human bipedalism evolved. But Luskin informs us that Ardi was originally found in the early 1990s. It took over a decade to piece the fossil together because it was found literally crushed and extremely brittle. How did they know how it all really fit together? Within a year, other paleontologists indicated Ardi had little to do with human evolution and was simply overhyped. That's become a familiar story. So much change to cover and so little evidence. In 2012, the Discovery Institute published an edited volume discussing the possibilities of human evolution from an ape-like ancestor by Darwinian evolutionary mechanism, science, and human origins. This week, I'm going to be offering an overview of the book and investigate the state of research into human origins from an evolutionary perspective. Today's discussion revolves around the appearance and nature of a very important fossil category. If humans have evolved by a Darwinian process from an ape-like ancestor, then there must be some species or group of species that show clear signs of being intermediate between fossil apes and humans. For many years, that position has been occupied by the Australopithecines. More specifically, a particular species has been represented for decades as that ancestor, represented by a fossil known as Lucy. As Luskin carefully documents, Lucy is a fossil that represents only about 40% of the original organism, so it's very incomplete, although far more representative than any earlier fossils. He also notes that the original fossil was found scattered over a hillside and may not truly represent a single individual. But significantly, Lucy is not necessarily closely related or descended from the Toomaiskal, Auroran, or Ardi that I discussed yesterday. There is much about Lucy that is very ape-like, and many anthropologists even question whether Lucy can be considered as truly ancestral to humans. Most significant about Lucy is the contention by some that she possessed a form of bipedalism that was very much or at least similar to human locomotion. But even that is highly contested by the evolutionary experts. Lucy's skull is small and quite ape-like. The chest cavity is shaped in a way that would make upright walking difficult, and her arms are long like apes and her legs are short like apes. Much is made about the shape of her pelvis, but as Luskin points out, the shape may have been an error in reconstruction since that part of the skeleton was found severely crushed. Even more to the point, Lucy shows numerous characters that require significant reworking compared to the earliest human-like fossils, usually represented by Turkanaboy. This 2-million-year-old fossil shows itself to be entirely human. Even its small brain is within the range of humans, and the brain architecture is also entirely human and nothing like Lucy. As Luskin points out, there needs to be a sort of big bang between Lucy and Turkana. What we have, then, is a large gap between apes and Lucy, and a large gap between Lucy and humans. So even though the fossil record could be interpreted to show a modest progression from apes to humans over time, there are no true transitional forms to document how this important transition took place. In 2012, the Discovery Institute published an edited volume discussing the possibilities of human evolution from an ape-like ancestor by Darwinian evolutionary mechanisms, science, and human origins. This week, I'm offering an overview of the book and investigate the state of research into human origins from an evolutionary perspective. In a well-documented chapter, Luskin examines the claims of evangelical scientist Francis Collins. That there is explicit and undeniable genetic evidence that humans and chimps evolved from a common ancestor. Collins has earned a stellar reputation as a medical geneticist for first discovering the gene responsible for cystic fibrosis, leading the Human Genome Project for over a decade, and then in 2009 being named by President Obama as the head of the prestigious National Institutes of Health. In between Collins' role as head of the Human Genome Project and his current role at NIH, he founded an organization, BioLogos, dedicated to convincing the church in America that evolution is indeed a fact, and we need to adjust both our science and preaching to reflect that fact. In preparation for BioLogos, he published a book titled The Language of God. In this book, Collins presents a twofold line of evidence that humans and chimps evolved from a common ancestor. First, he appeals to what are known as repetitive elements in our DNA. All mammalian genomes have relatively short sequences that can be very specific to species and groups of species spread throughout the genome. It appears as if these sequences make copies of themselves and randomly insert the copy elsewhere in the genome. These repetitive elements are frequently found in the same place in the genome in distant species such as mice and humans. These are referred to as ancient repetitive elements. These AREs are assumed to have no functional significance in the organism. This renders them as what is referred to as selfish DNA, which exists only to survive and reproduce. Some AREs are found in the same chromosomal location in mice and humans, as well as humans and chimps. This sure seems like evidence of common ancestry, as Collins claims. But the assumption I just mentioned, that these sequences have no function, has been widely disproved in just the last 10 years. As a result of the Human Genome Project that Collins led, we can now search all DNA sequences for some kind of function. Relying on work published by Richard Sternberg, Lusson lists 20 newly discovered functions for different types of repetitive elements in mammalian human genomes. The chapter discusses two other now disproven evidences for common ancestry of humans and chimps. I hope you can see that new and mounting evidence is making the common ancestry of humans and chimps even more difficult to defend. In 2012, the Discovery Institute published an edited volume discussing the possibilities of human evolution from an ape-like ancestor by Darwinian evolutionary mechanisms, science, and human origins. This week, I'm offering an overview of the book and investigate the state of research into human origins from an evolutionary perspective. In the final chapter, Ann Gager discusses a bit more of an academic argument for humans having evolved from an ape-like ancestor. Some evolutionary geneticists have described an argument that the level of genetic variation for particular human genes could not have arisen from a beginning of just two people. They state that standard genetic equations indicate that the human population most likely descends from a population of around 100,000 individuals. Just two people could not have generated this much variation in 100,000 years, let alone in 10,000 years. If their analysis is true, then the biblical account of Adam and Eve becomes a theological story with no historical significance. So let's take a look. Gager investigates in detail the most variable gene in humans. This gene codes for a protein involved in the immune system. One section of this gene is what geneticists call hypervariable. Evolutionist Francisco Ayala and others researched this gene in the mid-1990s. Ayala's conclusion was that the original human population that separated from the line that evolved in the chimps contained at least 32 copies of the gene in its population. Each of us has only two copies of each gene, so 32 copies requires at least 16 people. But since over time, different gene copies are lost, Ayala estimated a human population of at least 10,000 individuals, with an average closer to 100,000. Gager points out that Ayala misused several assumptions. He assumed a small mutation rate, and he assumed no selection. When Gager corrects for these errors and examines the studies of others, she determines that the equations, when the proper assumptions and mutation rates are used, the original human population could have had as few as four copies of this gene. Let's see. Two copies per person, four copies, only needs two people. How about that? Obviously, in the short broadcast, I have intentionally glossed over the technical details. Gager gives you the details as well as more non-technical summaries along the way. Considering all I have covered this week, my doubts about human evolution have only been strengthened.